to Engineering Influence, the podcast of the American Council of Engineering Companies, broadcasting live from Chicago at the 2019 Fall Conference. We're kind of in the process of the opening general session, and Robert Costa with Washington Post is giving us kind of a play-by-play of what's going on in Washington right now. And I wanted to jump out real quick because I was able to get a hold of Chandra Storsten, who has been on our show before. Talking about important issues related to diversity and inclusion, and I was able to get her back on the show. So thanks for coming back on.
Jeff, thank you for having me.
So it's kind of an exciting time. Before we kind of dig into kind of the topic that we want to cover today, we have, of course, the strategic plan, which was just passed out of the board of directors yesterday, which has diversity and inclusion in that as a strategic goal. What's your take on that? How important do you think it is to have it in writing and as part of a strategic plan for the future of the organization?
I think it's critical to have it as part of your strategic plan because you really need to, it starts at the top of an organization. It has to be fully supported by the CEO and the entire senior leadership team, or it'll never get buy-in across the organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So kind of going off on that, that idea, again, you're coming at this, you're the CEO and Chief Value Creation Officer at Visible Value, a management company out of Cary, North Carolina. And about 2 months ago, we talked about the increasingly important issue, not only in the engineering industry, but pretty much every sector of the economy, of creating a more diverse and inclusive workplace. Really want to continue that conversation and dig in a little bit more on the issue of not just the importance of what we always talk about, you know, diversity, race, gender, age, generational diversity. The other area that is important but never really talked about as much is the diversity of socioeconomic status and educational backgrounds. Tell us a little bit more about how that fits in.
Sure. So this should be really important to every AEC firm, as this helps make teams more well-rounded and creative through those diverse viewpoints and perspectives. It also makes your team much more relatable to your clients. The clients that this industry serves are changing.
So how are firms' current hiring practices inhibiting them from tapping into a more diverse talent pool from varying socioeconomic backgrounds?
So socioeconomic diversity is really decreasing at many public colleges in the U.S. due to state budget cuts and other challenges. So the number of graduates that are socioeconomically diverse is also decreasing and therefore reducing the pipeline of available talent. And this creates numerous challenges. With the talent war and for firms that want to increase all types of diversity, they're now competing for the same slice of pie that's shrinking. Now they're also overpaying for that small pool of talent.
So how can firms overcome these challenges that really they're facing from the pipeline of talent coming in from universities?
So firms really need to expand the pie. To start, firms can incorporate different universities and colleges into their campus recruiting strategy, including recruiting from other areas of the U.S. and internationally, as well as historically black colleges and universities and Hispanic-serving institutions. Community colleges are also another underutilized resource for AEC firms. We also recommend starting scholarship programs for the underrepresented groups combined with internship programs. And this doesn't need to be a huge amount of money. A few thousand dollars can make a huge impact. And the students who receive these opportunities will become raving fans and likely some of your best employees. In addition, starting mentorship programs in high schools or colleges for those underrepresented groups is also a great way to expose this industry to students that typically don't think of it as an option for their careers.
Now, of course, that is kind of focused on the students that are either entering into colleges or higher education. But let's say you have someone who's a little bit more experienced, has been out in the workforce a couple of years, or is in management. How can firms, you know, use strategies to tap into that talent pool of more experienced potential hires?
So depending on the role, removing the requirement for a four-year degree or even a degree overall can greatly increase the number of applicants firms receive from people with different socioeconomic statuses and different education backgrounds. Then firms can use performance-based testing to help understand an applicant's knowledge, skills, and abilities. And going back to expanding the pool, as the industry moves to embrace all sorts of new technology, like augmented intelligence, it's really vital that we tap into talent that has these skill sets and can help improve the way the industry does business and build competitive advantages for our firms. So expanding the pool to hiring outside of the industry is really key.
So one of the things we did last time you were on, we kind of like, okay, these are some strategies that firms can take advantage of, but how does this translate into the real world? Do you have a case study that you can kind of describe of a firm using these ideas to become more successful?
Absolutely. One of our clients, a mid-sized firm in the Southeast, they hired two people from a local community college with associate's degrees in technology into their IT department. Originally, it was supposed to be just that. They were looking for someone to support their engineering team. But these two people quickly began to realize how many of their internal processes could be automated. Fast forward 3 years, and the automation they've created has increased the firm's utilization 6%, which has translated directly into a significant increase in profit.
That's a great example of when you have, you know, preconceived notion of, okay, we're going to hire someone from IT that's going to have X and X and X different, you know, qualification, and but someone who doesn't really fit the mold might be able to approach a challenge in a different way and create efficiencies or see things in a unique way that someone who's maybe thinking more in the box may not be able to approach.
Absolutely.
So what best practices in hiring should companies follow to retain this diverse talent? This is something we talked about last time of, you know, how do you set yourself up for success?
Absolutely. So as I previously mentioned, the commitment to diversity and inclusion has to really start at the top of the CEO. And it's really important to get all the leaders and employees to buy in to why diversity and inclusion are important and what the real business case is for it and why it matters to them. So building that inclusiveness is really a critical part. Firms must take a comprehensive approach to intentionally creating a culture where all employees feel like they truly belong and are free to contribute and can achieve their personal goals at work. This dramatically increases engagement and the ability to attract and retain talent. Building an inclusive culture must really be embedded into a firm's core values. Yeah. Leaders need to learn and really care about individual experiences and support actions that accommodate diverse work styles and life situations, too. Leaders and managers also need to be trained on what it means to be inclusive. To get started, firms should really first seek to understand their current culture and those gaps in diversity and inclusiveness, and then develop an action plan to achieve their goals.
You know, there are a couple of words there that kind of I kind of focused in on. Commitment. You have to have embedded in the core values of the firm.
Absolutely.
And talking with our women in leadership group and talking with some other people who are engaged in, talent development and talking to firms about how they can, invest in diversity and inclusivity. They're not buzzwords, right? You're going to do this, you have to be committed to doing it. And that's that third part of diversity and inclusion, but then also belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where, the larger issue of equity comes in, where you're talking about, firms are doing this not because they want to just check a box, but because they want to make sure that it's part of their core values to create not just a diverse workforce, but to make the investments to allow those individuals to feel that they belong and they can contribute and that they have a path to helping that firm succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's something which I think is the most, in my mind at least, important part, because it really is the foundation for the other two pieces.
So absolutely. When you don't take the time to make them feel like they're belonging, the retention rate for people who don't feel like they belong is extremely low. And if you've put the time and the effort and the energy and the investment into recruiting these people, you want to make sure that you retain them and really integrate them into your workforce.
Well, this has been really good information, and I think that this combined with what the Women in Leadership Group yesterday talked about, and the focus of really the implementation of our strategic plan organizationally, looking at how we can as an organization and encourage greater diversity and inclusion of not just a more diverse leadership from a race or gender, but also from background, region, and everything else. It's going to be interesting to see the implementation of our plan and how we might be able to assist our member companies on this path. Of course, you are a great resource for our members.
Thank you.
Again, you are the CEO and Chief Value Creation Officer for Visible Value. But tell us a little bit more about Visible Value and the services that you provide your clients.
Sure. So we help organizations deliver more value for their clients, employees, and shareholders by really enabling firms to capitalize on pivotal opportunities during growth, transition, and transformations. We create authentic strategies that mobilize organizations and ensure execution through engaged internal and external stakeholders so our clients can become more innovative leaders, achieve their vision, and consistently outperform their competition.
And where can you be found online if somebody wants to get in touch with you?
Sure. So our website is visiblevalue.net, and our phone number is 919-533-2444.
Wonderful. Well, Chandra, thank you again. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And again, this is a topic which is getting a lot of attention these days, rightly so. And it won't be the last time we'll ask you to come on.
It'll be my pleasure.
And enjoy the conference.
Thank you so much. It's already gotten off to a great start, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.